The recent issue of Sports Illustrated magazine has a provocative picture on its cover. And no, it's not a model in a swimsuit. It's Florida Marlins ace pitcher Dontrelle Willis standing in the outfield of his home stadium up to his thighs in water. It's a virtual image, of course, but it's a stark representation of the threat that climate change poses to places like Miami and to the world of sports, something that's supposed to be an escape from real life. The cover story is titled Going, Going Green, and it documents the ways global warming is already affecting sporting events from skiing to dog sledding to football. Reporter David Epstein is co-author of the article, and he joins me now from the offices of Sports Illustrated in New York City. Hello, David.
Hi.
Give me some examples of how climate's affecting athletes in their sports.
Well, I mean, everything from when we have an extraordinarily hot summer, I mean, even a couple degrees makes a big difference for, say, high school football players. I mean, I talked to some coaches in Texas high school football, and, you know, they said Texas high school used to be famous for this kind of two-a-day sweating players into shape stuff, and now it's like you just don't see that. You might still see two practices a day, but if so, you know, you're going to see one early in the morning before the sun's up, one late at night, or sometimes, you know, you're just going to see a one at night rather than a two-a-day, all the way to things like the World Cup, of course. World Cup skiing was basically decimated this year. I mean, the U.S. Nordic ski team came home early from the European circuit because they never knew if the races were going to be on or not. And I think, actually, right now, I don't know if the Iditarod is still going. It might be, or it might be just ending.
It is, yeah.
And there, it used to traditionally start in a town called Wasilla, which calls itself the home of the Iditarod. It hasn't started there for 5 years because they don't have enough snow. So it's always been, they've had to move it north every year. It's kind of a business problem for them. It's their biggest tourist draw. So it's, you know, it's like Halloween for a costume store or something. They haven't had it anymore, and I wonder when the next time they'll have it will be. It's kind of all over the sports world.
Now, in the article that you help write, you point out that even the symbols of athletic competition are changing. I mean, we don't think of the Superdome in New Orleans the way we did before Katrina, do we?
No, certainly. I mean, even me as a sports fan, the first thing I think of when I hear the Superdome is kind of, you know, a refuge. I think of that picture where, I guess, wind had ripped a hole in the roof and there's a kid kind of running through a light that's shining through the roof. And I think it's kind of puts it in perspective, and hopefully we won't see more of that, but it certainly changes the meaning of the Superdome, no doubt.
So how's the athletic industry, I'm thinking of everyone from athletes to facilities managers, the team owners, how's everyone dealing with these new challenges associated with climate change?
Well, it depends, kind of on their own. You know, there's not a whole lot of cohesive movement right now. Well, in some sports there are. So let's say in some of the driving sports, which maybe could make a big difference, in the Clean Air Act of 1970 that said, you know, new consumer cars would have to run on unleaded fuel, race cars were actually exempted. So they don't have to comply with that. But NASCAR is now going to comply with it anyway, and they're mixing in ethanol into their fuels. And IndyCar is going to 100% ethanol. And F1 is introducing hybrids and ethanol, things like that. And obviously their emissions are a drop in the bucket, but how far is it from a NASCAR driver to a NASCAR fan in terms of being conscious about ethanol? And athletes themselves in the major sports, lots of them do philanthropic work, but it tends to be more focused on poverty as opposed to environmentalism. But now it's starting to change a little bit. Like Steve Gleason, who's a safety on the Saints, he had a biodiesel Jetta, I believe it was, and it was flooded by Katrina. And when he got rid of that, you know, he said he thought about getting a Prius, and he said, you know what, I like cool cars. So he got a truck and ran it on biodiesel, and he kind of sees himself as an example now. You know, he says, you can have a cool truck and still have a clean truck. And he started a foundation called One Sweet World that's devoted to sustainability. And as far as I know, that's kind of the first in football, basketball, baseball player who started an environmental foundation. And, you know, I think it's a sign of things to come.
Tell me, what is it that got Sports Illustrated interested in doing this story? And what do you think really started the ball rolling?
Basically, we're really well in touch with sports, and we realized that there were enough ways that sports was being affected, enough ways that sports and athletes were reacting, that it had become, no question, it had become relevant to sports fans. And actually, we drew some serious criticism for kind of ruining a bit of people's escapism, I guess, with relation to sports. But it's here. These sports are being affected. These ski slopes are moving. The Iditarod is moving. The NFL is planting trees to offset their carbon and things like that. So, and obviously, the Superdomes, of course, you can't tie any single event to global warming, but we know that it's more likely that we'll have hurricanes like that. Enough things are happening for people that are paying attention in sports that we should be having that conversation now. So I think maybe that'll change.
David Epstein is a reporter for Sports Illustrated magazine. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you.